Welcome each and every one of you to the Environmental Quality Board meeting. I'd like to start with the cookie eater over in the corner and let him introduce himself. For the record, I want you to know that I did snap a quick picture of the Commissioner of Health slamming a piece of pizza, and so if you want to check YouTube later, you'll see it. It's going viral.
I'm Ed Ellinger, the Commissioner of Health, and that was all that was available in the MPCA cafeteria.
Sure.
So everything in health is about context. You know, you can't expect people to exercise if it's an unsafe neighborhood, if you don't have walking and biking. You can't expect them to eat in a food healthy in a food desert. Like, never mind.
Like John. The Orville L. Freeman building, right?
John Linkstein, Commissioner of PCA, and bring the challenges on, Ed. Let's go.
Barb Narramore, DNR Assistant Commissioner.
Katie Clark, Seabin, Commissioner of Deed.
Brian Napsed, Chairman of the Board of Water and Soil Resources.
Kate Knuth, EQB Citizen Member.
Charlie Zelli, Commissioner of MnDOT, and I'm eating highway food here.
And normally, children, when you bring food to school, you're to bring enough for everyone.
Leah Hedman, I'm an Assistant Attorney General. Oops, I'm also on mute.
Hi, Leah Hedman, I'm an Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the EQB Board.
I'm Dave Fredrickson, Commissioner of Agriculture and Chair of the EQB Board.
I'm Will Soyford. I'm the new Executive Director of the Environmental Quality Board.
John Saxhaug, Citizen Member from Minneapolis.
Julie Gehring, Citizen Member from Moorhead.
Eric Tomlinson, Citizen Member from Twin Cities.
Mike Rothman, Department of Commerce.
All right. Welcome to each and every one of you. I believe at this time a motion to adopt the consent agenda would be in order, and I believe Commissioner Stein has that would include the minutes of the September 18th board meeting and the proposed agenda for October 16th, 2013 board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll move with friendly amendment, ask that we modify the we're on the agenda, not the minutes, aren't we? I'm sorry.
Well, both.
We're on both. Okay. So the minutes of the last meeting don't reflect the fact that when we made a motion to invite a number of interest groups to meet with EQB on silica sand issues in general, that we involve more than just the Industrial Sand Council, that we invite additional organizations representing the community and other segments of the economic and non-governmental interests. So with that friendly amendment to the minutes, Mr. Chair, I'd move approval.
I see no objection to making that addition, and so we need a second.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Rothman. Is there further discussion on the motion to approve the minutes of the September 16th with the additional comments that Commissioner Stein made? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. I've got just a couple of, item that I would put forward regarding my own report, and if I could take a second to make a personal comment. I wanted to acknowledge that one in our midst will be joined in matrimony on Saturday of this coming week, so please help me congratulate Kate France on her upcoming marriage. Speech. All right, thanks. Well, congratulations, Kate. We're really happy for you. With that, we have a really, really, short and light agenda today. But then once one says that, it tends to find a way to get complicated. So with that, I would like to ask Will to make some opening comments and your report as Executive Director. Will?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my third week on the job as of today, and so I just want to thank you all for for your support and your partnership over the last 3 years. As many of you know, I spent the last 3 years in the governor's office working on a number of working on environmental, agriculture, energy, and commerce issues. So I've worked with most of you all at the table, and I look forward to continuing in that work. One of the things that really struck me in my previous role and really drew me to wanting to come and join the EQB, it was this ethic of interagency collaboration on so many issues. And that really is critical for the board to be successful as we delve into some more of these issues that are on the horizon, but also the support of the executive into what the board does. These are two critical ingredients for a board that is going to be effective and efficient on so many of these tasks that we're looking to accomplish. And so just a couple comments about where we're going with a variety of things, if you wouldn't mind. Most of my time in the last couple of weeks has been spent on silica sand issues, and I think you're all familiar with what we have in front of us on this issue. But my job has really been focused on trying to make sure we have robust citizen engagement on all the tasks before us, and you'll see as we talk about our plan for concluding the model standards that this is a critical component of that. And as we move forward on all of the tasks related to silica sand, that is what I'm trying to bring to this process. And that's one thing that I think is going to be critical to actually successfully implementing the law. There are a number of other things that we're going to be looking to move forward on, though, in the upcoming months. The first of which is climate change, and Alan can come up in a little bit to speak to this issue, but there's a lot going on right now in the agencies, inventorying what progress we're making on mitigation and adaptation, and we're looking to our November meeting. We're going to hear a presentation from the Interagency Climate Adaptation Team. Hear their report on what they're doing and where they're going. And we're also going to hear from Professor Mark Seeley at the university, who's a university meteorologist and climatologist. So that should be an interesting meeting. And the purpose here is to kind of set the table for what we're going to be doing with climate. In December, the first stage of the interagency report dealing with mitigation should be ready, and we expect to hear a presentation on that. So we're looking to get moving pretty quickly on this issue, and I just appreciate everyone's partnership in this effort, and we'll continue to need it going forward. Other issues that we're going to work on, water. The chairman presented to the House Environment Committee last week on water issues and discussed the role of the EQB here. And so we're gonna start this conversation going forward, and again, look forward to your participation and partnership in that. A couple other things come to mind as I ramble on about all the things that I'm looking to move forward with. One of our challenges is technological, and so we're going to look to do a makeover here pretty soon of our website, and both cosmetic and mechanically. We want this to, citizens to be able to take advantage of this and really utilize the resources that we have available here. We also want to grow our environmental review program. Going back to the executive order and the report that came out of that, there's a real opportunity for some expanded assistance to local units of government and outreach on our behalf, and we're going to look to do that going forward. But all this isn't going to get done with just the two folks that I have on staff right now. I'm really pleased to report that I have two positions that we're going to be filling that are currently posted on the state jobs website, and a couple more that will follow that. The two that are out there right now is a project manager for the EIS that we are the RGU for. The other position is a communications director, and their first task is going to be to implement a communication strategy and move forward with a social media plan and do some real work here on the website. So a couple exciting things coming up, but to successfully implement all this, we're still going to need partnership with everyone here. And so we really appreciate your partnership thus far. At this point, I think I'll turn it over to Alan and Anna to give us a more detailed update on the climate change plan.
Questions for Will? Seeing none, Anna and Alan?
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Is this, there's no light. Probably needs to. There we go. And as Will said, thanks for that summary, and really want to welcome Will on board. And it's good to know that the permanent staff of the EQB will be growing, and that'll be really helpful for all the work that we've been doing to help support that. I just want to give an update on what's going on with climate change planning, and we talked about this very briefly at the last meeting in the last couple minutes, so I just want to give a quick update what's happened since that time. And as you all know, and commissioners in particular have assigned some of your senior staff people to work on this, and we have assembled an excellent steering committee, cross-agency steering committee, and every one of these nine of your nine agencies are represented on that and participating in that. And we also are working with the Met Council on this as well. So we've gotten some participation from the Met Council. I believe Commissioner Fredrickson and some of us will be meeting with Chair Haig fairly soon to talk through their, you know, the potential of more Met Council participation in the future in general with the EQB. So what we've done is establish some really aggressive timelines, and I mentioned this before. I don't have copies of this, but I have a written timeline that we're trying to follow, and this calls for the first phase of this report or plan to be rolled out by the end of this year, roughly, give or take a few weeks. And we're moving ahead on track, and what that means is that we've already given this team a deadline, which will be actually next week. Next Monday is their first deadline to bring together their summary of what their agencies have been doing in this area. And Will talked about that. It's really focused on more on mitigation, but in some agencies, it's all about adaptation is primarily what some agencies do. But we already have a report on adaptation moving forward, so this will be in addition to that. So we're asking each agency to put together and come back by next week with their summary of what have we been doing, what progress have we made in our agency and in our area of jurisdiction over the last 5 to 10 years in Minnesota, and what are we doing right now, and what are some gaps we can identify for the future, for next steps. In the meantime, so that report's moving forward, and then the next step for that, once we get that information from the different agencies, we're going to have a smaller team, Anna and myself, and hopefully a few others to assist us in putting all this together into a more comprehensive document that we think should be organized not by agency, but by topic, by concept, by key area of interest, so that this is really something that's understandable and usable by the general public. So it makes sense to a person who's not embedded in state government. In the meantime, the E&E team, the energy and environment team that already existed, has been working hard on putting together how we're doing in internal agency work on fleets, on energy savings in state buildings, et cetera. And so that will be also combined in with this information. So we will have a comprehensive plan to roll out by the end of this year. As I mentioned, some agencies are focused more on mitigation, some on adaptation, and in some places they kind of overlap, like in areas like agriculture and forestry. There's a lot of overlap. Will mentioned that the ICAT team will present in November. In the November meeting, we also hope that the EQB would appoint a subcommittee to oversee this work, and that way we can have a little more direct and intense participation of some of you, including some citizen members, where we can regularly review this report as once we have something put together. And then we'll come back in December, as Will mentioned, to do a report on where we're at with our draft, which will hopefully be near conclusion. The last thing I want to really emphasize, and this is in the form of a request to commissioners, and this sort of will bring you back memories of last winter, because we made this request many times last year during the executive order work and the Congress work. We need a communications team, Because the next step after we put this outline together in a framework that's kind of that's understandable and you know, sort of reconciles all the different things, the different formats from different agencies, then we need a communications team to really polish it up and make it look user-friendly and readable and organized. And we don't have a team appointed as of yet. I know some of the commissioners, some of you individually have offered support from your communication staff, but now is the time. November is really the timeline when we would like to get communications people working through this document and putting it into its closer to its final form. So I'm not sure what the right process is for that, but I wanted to personally bring it to the attention of all the commissioners here. I think we need at least 5 communication staff on this team, and I think their work, it would be you know, over a month and a half that they'd have to put some time into this, and then it would move on to the next part of the process, which is working with the new executive director and your communications leader to help put it in a web-based format. So are there any questions about that? How
time limits, Ellen, that we don't need to resolve it today, right? So.
We don't, but I'm hoping, as I said, that within the next few weeks we'll have some sort of a draft, rough outline that we're going to need to start running by a communications team and have them start working on improving it. So we really need a name from some of your agencies in the next couple of weeks, I guess. And I can just send out an email to remind and ask and get that finalized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ellen, I'm just wondering, we've got a number of sort of pre-existing or currently operating groups, and then there's some new groups that are organizing to carry out tasks in this item. And I'm wondering if we can get something written on that so that we can kind of understand the relationships between what's a currently operating group, who the members of those groups are, and how they function, and then what the additional groups that will form will be, so we can kind of keep track of the flow of who's talking about which group at which time. That would be helpful to me, certainly. I don't know if other members would like to see that, just because a number of our staff cross over, and it's just helpful to kind of keep track of who's working on which task at which time. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. I should have thought to provide that today. I've been keeping a running document that's pretty rough, but I can certainly provide that to everybody. That's a very good idea.
Other questions for Ellen? Thanks.
Great.
You can talk a little bit about the event today.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am going to tell you guys a little bit about the Next Generation Environmental Congress and the National Award. They were just given by the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, which is more often known as ASHE. So I'm just going to start with a quick refresher on the Next Generation Congress, since it's been a little while. Most of you were able to attend the Congress in March and witness the presentation that the youth gave, which was very well received. The EQB started out during the Environmental Congress by reaching out to the young leaders and asked them to kind of incorporate some sort of youth voice in the Environmental Congress, and we didn't really have a clear idea of what that was going to be. But the youth really took that and ran with it and decided that the best way to represent a diverse youth presence at the Congress would be to have their own Next Generation Environmental Congress. And so this is truly a youth-led effort. We hired an intern through the University of Minnesota Morris. And there was nearly 200 attendees at the event they hosted at the University of Minnesota St. Paul in February of 2013. Commissioner Fredrickson, as well as Kate Knuth, Ellen, and I were all able to attend the event, and it was very well structured. You'll hear a little bit more about that at the reception this evening. But the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education, their award was for student sustainability leadership, and they were nominated by the U of M. And they stood out for the scale of the effort and the success in building a youth coalition that actually connected with policymaking at a state level. So the reception this evening to celebrate the Next Generation Congress leaders will be held 4:30 to 6 p.m. at the Institute and at the Institute on the Environment at the University of Minnesota St. Paul campus. We have some maps and directions for people who need that, as well. I'm sure Kate can give directions to people who need it. And we've also invited staff who helped with the Congress to attend, and so they're more than welcome. So if you have any questions.
So that is today at 4:30.
4:30 to 6.
And we hope you can all come. It should be fun.
And you failed to talk about the fact that you did travel and participate. Oh,
yeah. I did.
Or in the event to...
Yes, I did fail to mention that. Thank you. They were actually had their national conference last week, October 6th through 8th in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was able to attend and present on behalf of the EQB and the state. So thank you for mentioning that. It was really fun, and yeah, I'm very honored to have been a part of that.
Any questions for Anna? No? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Right. I think what I'd like to do before we go into the other two aspects of our agenda is to ask for public comment now, being back in here. And I just thought I would handle the public comment first, and then we could go to the process. Oh, okay, all right, I'm sorry. Then we'll hold off with this until later. I've been overruled by
They're ganging up on you.
You still have friends.
Yeah. Go ahead, take your shot. All right, let's move then straight into the discussion regarding the establishment of the Silica Sand EQB Subcommittee. And I'd ask Jeff to come up and present, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Dearly beloved, we are gathered. No, wait. Wrong meeting. Sorry. I just had to throw that in. One of the things that is really important coming up is how to deal with the model standards and criteria in which so many people have a great interest. I thought we'd talk about the process that's coming up to deal with that part of the silica sand legislation items. Here's what we've got up put together right now. Some of these days may change by a couple days here and there, but we are really kind of crunching as it is, so there are some things that are compressed, and I'll sort of get into that. The process we have right now, let me see, do I actually have a, yes, okay, so we've got the EQB meeting, and that's today, obviously. All right, the next item, October 18th, that's Friday, we are going to open a public input process that will last for 25 days. Within the next 25 days, we will have three meetings on two different dates that will be open to the public. And in fact, those are sort of the main focus of this public input process. On October 25th, we are going to have a meeting hosted by the EQB subcommittee, which will formally be created at today's meeting. That meeting will be down in Mankato afternoon, 2 to 4 o'clock at the Blue Earth County Library in Mankato. I'll get into the preliminary program for those meetings after we get through the schedule. And there will be, on October 29th, there will be two meetings, one in the morning from 9 to 11 a.m., in St. Charles, Minnesota, at the St. Charles Community Center, and then from 1 to 3 in the afternoon at the Wabasha Kellogg High School in Wabasha, Minnesota. So those will be opportunities for the public to come learn some things about this process and to provide input to the preparation of the model standards and criteria. Also, in that 25 days, we want to arrange meetings with certain groups, a couple citizen groups that want to talk, that we would like to talk to and would like to talk with us about them. We want to meet with the industry groups, which Commissioner Stein noted earlier that we do want to meet with industry, as well as some other groups. And we do want to set up some talks, at least with the staffs of some of the local governments out in southeast Minnesota, possibly in the Minnesota River Valley as well, who have done an awful lot of research and work on the silica sand topics. I think we have a lot to learn from them. These meetings, some of them, they may be face-to-face meetings. They may be talks on the phone with some people. We'll have to see how things work out. But we do want to start putting those together very soon. So November 12th here, this particular input period would end. Then for the next month, staff with different expertise in the different state agencies represented here for the most part will be working on putting together the draft document of model standards and criteria. By the way, we will be working on it before that, but we certainly don't want to get too much substantive work done until we get the public input on all the different standards. On December 13th, the target is to issue a draft document with model standards and criteria for public review and begin a 30-day public input period. That'll be really input on the draft document itself. So that will last 30 days, go to January 13. Sometime in the last week of January, we would like to have a meeting of the EQB subcommittee on silica sand to talk about the draft document and the public input we have received on it. We will have not an awful lot of time, actually 1 week after that meeting to finish up the draft. Bring a document to the EQB board on the February 19th, but that means that it has to go out in the packet, the board packet, on February 7th. So we were really going to be pushing things in that period. February 19th, 2014, that's the normally scheduled EQB board meeting, and we hope to have a document there that can be finally approved by this board. So that's the schedule that we've laid out so far. Oh, and by the way, as part of this public input period, the initial one that's starting up here just this Friday, for those of the public and anywhere else who cannot attend the meetings, we do have an email, a special silica sand email address to which they can send in their comments. That address is silicasand.eqb@state.mn.us. In addition, we will be, I hope tomorrow, sending out a notice via our Gov delivery service, letting people know about these meetings and about the public input process that will include this email address. I actually have received at least one, maybe two voicemail messages about where do I send in a comment, so we'll let that person know as well. Once again, I want to remind everybody to
repeat the silica sand website.
Sorry, it's silicasand, one word, .eqb@state.mn.us.
Right.
I would ask and request and recommend to everybody who's interested, once again, I'll make this recommendation, go to the EQB webpage, sign up for notices, and that is going to be our main way of communicating what's going on to people who are interested. So anybody in the public, members of the board, if you haven't done so, you can go to the webpage, click on the little link on the corner, enter your email address, and a list of topics will come up, and you can click whichever ones you want to get notices on. And we'll send this out to the Silica Sand Topics notice of this this public input period. Any questions from the board on the schedule?
All right. Questions for Jeff on the proposed schedule. Please, Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff, when the public input period begins this Friday, October 18th, the input we're going to be receiving, will that be related to the standards and criteria they wish to see in the draft? Because at this point in time, I understand we don't have a draft to provide input against. Is that correct?
Ms. J, members of the board, that is correct. We are essentially starting from scratch and asking, what I want to do in this notice that goes out is list the standards and say, try to focus things. We are asking for comment on these because that's really what we're putting together here. The more specific the comments, the better, the more useful they will be, the more specific they are to the individual standards that are called for in the legislation. So the answer to your question is yes, that is what we want to do. We want to focus the comment on preparation of the model standards and criteria.
Okay, and just a follow on, Mr. Chair. So it's a very open input period to begin with, topics to be covered, standards to be set. Any input would be accepted in the original period beginning October 18th. And then in that period, November 12th through December 13th, is it the intent to bring the draft document back to the board for approval to go out for public comment?
Jeff?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we could do that. We were planning on going through the subcommittee for the draft document itself, we're hoping to get something out. If it has to come back to the board for approval, that adds a couple weeks onto the process. I don't know if that's possible to do before the February 19th meeting. Right now, we've got a very crunched schedule. So what we were hoping to do is to be communicating with people throughout the process, but we really do need to push this. We are very, very short on time. So if the board, again, this is, for the board's consideration here, if the board wants to stretch it out so that every piece of this goes to the board for approval, that will mean an extra, couple of weeks at less, possibly a month added on for each time we do that, because the board only meets once a month. We have to send them out 10 days in advance, all that sort of thing. So that's a possibility, but those of us who are putting together the schedule, we didn't see how that could happen. We're trying to get this done before the legislature convenes, and if we add another round of going through the board, I don't know if we could get that done. That's the problem.
Also, remember, members, that based on session law, there are 14 areas that were prescribed to be addressed. And so we will have a template. We just won't be going out there blind. We'll be dealing with those 14 issues and asking for very pointed recommendations or ideas based on those 14. And so it is somewhat scoped, I believe. And again, I think we took the convening date of the Minnesota legislature and then started to work it backwards to get us to a point where we could actually have it completed within that time frame. We were guided by that. Commissioner Stein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd also note that just for the for all of us to remember, there's another EQB meeting on November 20th. So if you look at that schedule, you look at what happens between now and November 20th. There's a lot that's going to happen. There'll be a really significant amount of information flowing, and we probably can check in on what we're hearing up to that point at that board meeting. The subcommittee probably will have a report at that time. So I think we're going to get us a pretty clear sense of whether we're on track or we're going to really be stretched for time to put things together. So just for reference, that's not on the schedule, and then there's another December EQB meeting as well. So there's a couple of opportunities for the entire board to hear from the subcommittee along the way.
And also, if necessary, you could also engage the process, implement the process to call for a special meeting, I would assume. So, okay, other questions or comments or concerns based on the schedule as we see it on the board right now? If not, I'd like to go then to the resolution, which is also included in your packet, that will need one minor change on the second page. Jeff, do you want to kind of walk us through that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, the resolution for establishing the subcommittee, at the last meeting, just a brief review at the last meeting, it's September 8th, the board decided to create a subcommittee to engage stakeholders on the silica sand issues. The resolution is creating that. Actually, this resolution doesn't have the typo on it. It's the next one, so I'll get to that one. There is one thing that came up earlier that we thought would earlier today in a discussion that we thought would add establishing the EQB subcommittee for silica sand issues. If you look down, there's the whereases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 whereas clauses. Therefore, be it resolved, and then be it further resolved, be it further resolved, be it further resolved. The one that talks about the who's going to serve on this, where it says, be it further resolved, the subcommittee shall consist of the EQB chair, commissioners of the PCA, DNR, Department of Health, Transportation, and an EQB citizen member. Citizen members suggested that we change that to one or more citizen members on this subcommittee. Due to potential, some of them might be able to attend some meetings, some of them might be able to attend other meetings. So I would suggest that as an amendment to the resolution here, where it would say, and one or more EQB citizen members.
So the resolution or the amendment would strike and add one or more. Is that correct?
That's correct. And then citizen members, plural. At the end, one or more EQB citizen members, plural.
Okay.
Just to be grammatically correct. I've heard there are school teachers around who care about things like
that. Yeah, yeah. Grammatically correct is always a good thing, I think.
Mr. Chair?
That was the T-shirt I saw the other day. It said, let's eat grandma, and then let's eat, comma, grandma. In the bottom it said, commas can kill.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to put that in the form of a motion.
Mr. Chair,
I'm sorry. I would like to put that change in the form of a motion.
Comma. All right. Thank you.
To change you've that language.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
There is a second. Is there discussion on the motion to make that change, strike the word A-N, and add one or more plus an S at the end of members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. On the resolution.
Okay.
I think at this time I'd like to ask for public comment as it relates to either the establishment of the EQB subcommittee for silica sand and also the establishment of silica sand tech assistance team. I guess we could do both of those at the same time. And I have Peter's here, I believe, Petter from Larkin Hoffman. Welcome to the committee, Petter. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not texting. I just had to find a rule here. So
ah.
Not waiting for any phone calls or
you
anything.
Need a life.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Mr. Chair, members of the EQB.
Next thing we're looking for a rule. What?
My name is Peter Larson. I'm here for the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council. I'm an attorney at Larkin Hoffman Law Firm. And we've appreciated the time we've had to talk with EQB staff about the advisory committee. And I wanted to come up and talk to you about what we believed was going to happen and talk to you about perhaps having at least two paths that this technical advisory committee might go. As you've heard before, our members were very involved in the legislative session. We spent a lot of time in committee hearings. We testified at a lot of hearings. We spent a lot of time with some of you and your staffs. One of the things we supported throughout very strongly was the technical advisory committee. In fact, I'd say that we were more than once probably talking to legislators in rooms saying, all you have to do is one thing from what we hear. Make sure that the local governments, because what we're talking about here is not the other rules that we're talking about, but what local governments need. What you really need to do is make sure those local governments have access to the experts that they need, especially the local governments that don't do this often. We're not talking about the counties that have two or three facilities. We're talking about the ones who are sitting there with proposals, but they've never permitted one. They maybe haven't even permitted significant industrial facilities. And so we heard over and over again that these local governments didn't want to really give up control. Those of you who have served locally, you understand. If you're from Greater Minnesota, you understand that you used to joke out there that the politicians aren't exactly putting on their campaign signs DNR endorsed, right? PCA endorsed. That's not what happens out there. But they want that assistance. So we spoke in favor of funding technical advisory teams. There's language in the law that says project proposers will pay for the reasonable costs of those teams. That was language we suggested because we didn't want that to be a limitation. So we strongly supported this, and the vision that we thought people were implementing in this law was that, and that they were going to make technical assistance available to local governments because they have local ordinances and they have local permitting authority. What we see here is a little different than that. What we see written down is local governments will call the EQB staff. EQB staff will convene the technical advisory group. The technical advisory group, and this is what I was looking up, it says at least in the letter, I haven't seen this, it might be in the resolution, is subject to a couple of EQB rules. 4405.0800 was the one I was looking up, and that says that they will operate under the rules applicable to task forces and subcommittees, which your enabling rule says you can set up, and that those meetings are all meetings of subcommittees and task forces are open to the public. Notice of time, place, and matters to be considered must be posted. Blah, blah, blah. It's not surprising. As a subcommittee of a board like yours, you have to set up public notice of your meetings. But our concern is it wasn't the vision we had in that we think local governments want to have a phone number. They want to have a person often. They want to have a list of people to call and say, I've got this silica sand project. I've got it pretty much covered. We've got a pretty good ordinance, but we're still getting a lot of comments on noise. Or we're getting a comment on what's our authority really to control truck traffic? You know, what can we do? What can't we do? Can you send down a particulate matter expert so we understand what these meteorological stations combined with the monitoring are going to do? Right? Because I have a person who wants to answer that question. I don't know how to answer it. We're worried that under this process they'd call Jeff. Jeff would convene a group. It'd be noticed, a couple weeks notice, I think. I haven't looked at what your notice needs to be. Maybe your council knows that. There'd be a public meeting. There'd be a recommendation. That recommendation under the rules has to go to the EQB. That's what subcommittees have to do. And then it would go to the local government. And that wasn't exactly what we were advocating for. It might be what the staff wants to set up. It might be your preference. But it's not what we intended to help get done for local governments. So I don't know that I'm saying maybe I am that you should set this aside and find out whether this is what was asked for. But I am asking that you make it as clear to local governments that this isn't the only way that this technical advisory committee required in law is accessible. Because our other concern is somebody locally might say, you can't call the PCA anymore. Don't come to me and tell me at a public meeting that the PCA said something because it wasn't a public meeting. And it says right in here that this technical advisory committee is subject to state law that says you have to have public meetings, public notice, all that. So there's our concern is as I've stated, it seems cumbersome. But our request would be if you could somehow make equally available and officially available, publicly stated, that local governments, this technical advisory team and its members are available directly, and access to them isn't required to occur in a publicly available meeting. And finally, I'd just say I had a little experience sitting here, and government-to-government activity is important here. This isn't decision making; it's advice, and the candor might not be there if those discussions have to take place with somebody at a microphone and a bunch of people sitting around a table.
Well, thank you, Peter, and I appreciate that, and I believe that we did talk about it, and that, you know, nowhere in the law does it say that that direct contact has to stop, and that this is the only process wherein one could make contact. That doesn't change one bit, and I appreciate your concern that we do as the best job we can to inform folks that this is not the end-all, be-all in terms of a vehicle in which to communicate, and that we'll have that the old-fashioned way, pick up the phone and call John Linkstein at the PCA and ask him or any of the other commissioners, et cetera, around the table. We could maybe,
yeah. And
we structured this according to, I felt that we structured it according to the rule and according to law.
Point of clarification, Mr. Chair. I'm Leah Hedman with the Attorney General's Office, and if we look to the actual resolution language itself, it's two-sided, and if you go to the back page. So I'm on the establishing a silica sand technical assistance team to assist local governments. There are two, so that's why I say that. That's the heading. If you turn to the back page, looking at the third from the bottom paragraph of that resolution, you'll see how this is structured. The be it further resolved that in accordance with Minnesota Statute 116C.99, subdivision 4, and Minnesota Rules 4405-0800, that's correct, that's an EQB operating rule, subdivision 3, when the technical assistance team receives a request from a local unit of government or local government related to a silica sand project requiring approval or denial by the local government, recommendations on the project from the technical assistance team shall be submitted in writing to the full Environmental Quality Board as a matter to be decided by the board, etc. That's because the operating rules in 4405-0800 for boards and subcommittees, board subcommittees and task forces require that recommendations under subpart 3, recommendations from task forces and subcommittees must be submitted to the board. But if you go to the next paragraph down, so I'm the second paragraph from the bottom at the end of the resolution, it says, be it further resolved that if you don't have a specific question related to a specific silica sand project requiring approval or denial by this board, but instead this is for general questions of inquiry. That's that second paragraph down. Be it further resolved, and then I'm going to skip a little bit, that when a technical assistance team receives a request from a local government on issues arising from silica sand activities but not related to a silica sand project requiring approval or denial, so not asking about a specific project, more of a general question, such a request does not require recommendations, but the technical assistance team shall respond with information deemed appropriate to assist the local government on the issues. So it's a more of a direct question. Who do I call? I've got a concern about people have asthma, they're concerned about aspirating the stuff, who do I call? Then they could get that person the information. It was trying to achieve the legislative intent, and that was why it was split into two things. Formal recommendations, formal findings, take a formal path, have to be brought before this board, but the more immediate questions that are just, it's an information resource, is that second to the bottom paragraph. So I hope that helps clarify.
Mr. Chair, I do appreciate that, and I think it's on the track that is a track that moves towards what we're concerned about. I would say it's our belief that local governments are going to be addressing these issues based on a specific project most often, and that. I don't know. I guess we're on page two of the Establishing Silicus and Technical Assistance. The third paragraph, we believe that a technical assistance team is going to receive requests from local governments for recommendations on projects that require their approval. We think that's most often going to be the case. And so for us, if the local planning, zoning, and sewer official is the one that's being asked by a county commissioner, I've got a bunch of questions, get answers for me. And he wants to call the PCA, and he pulls up the technical assistance team roster, finds the number, calls them. Our concern would be if they come in then and say, well, we got this answer, and here's what it is. This would seem to say, no, that's something that needs findings. And that's problematic to us because we think that that's not as useful as we hoped this process would be.
All right. Thank you, Peter. We'll take that on your comments under advisement. On the issue, I suppose it depends on how they ask the question. But all of the members of around this table, particularly, and in each state agency, are continue to be available and will continue to be available to answer any and all of those questions.
Mr. Chair, one question. I appreciate council's clarification, but I think some of us at least may have a different version of the resolution than the one from which you were reading, which has led to a little confusion, at least.
I'm not sure which
in this
is
chair.
The most it's here. Yeah, this one here.
Sorry, apparently there's more than one draft.
Yeah.
And frankly, I kind of, at least with the version I have, was caught on that same question of balancing transparency and the appropriate function of the team under the rules of the EQB versus the ability to provide timely information. And I was struck by an additional dimension of that, which might be the distinction between the ability of local units to consult and get findings from the team as a whole versus tap individual members of that team for their insights and expertise. And I don't know if there's perhaps some clarification that could be provided on how those two things might relate, the function of the team as a whole in formally providing findings versus people's access to individual technical experts within various state agencies.
Mr. Chair, do you know if we're going to have additional commenters?
At this time, the only formal request was from Petter. But I'd be happy to. Oh, okay.
My concern is I'd like to hear all of the comments of the public and then discuss this concern as well as any others once we've heard from all the citizens and people want to comment.
Keith, I don't have your whatever color card this is, but I know you, and so please come on up. Thanks, Peter.
I am a bit colorblind, but it does look purple.
It's close, yeah.
My name is Keith Foss, and I'm a township supervisor and chair of Hay Creek Township in Hay Creek, Minnesota, just a bit southwest of Red Wing. And we've had the chance to meet with several township leaders and community and county leaders since your last meeting that really focused on silica sand mining. And Commissioner Seufert blessed us with a visit to our historic Hay Creek Town Hall to get some firsthand feedback from local township and government officials. And being you're having this conversation, I think a lot of local government officials agree with Mr. Petters, did I say his name right?
Mr. Larson.
Mr. Larson, that just spoke to the fact of local government officials want local control. But I think their perspective might be a little bit different. They also want assistance. So I think what we're looking for on the local level is a chance to have input up front. An example being a lot has happened since the last meeting. Things like the Goodhue County is considering a 1 mile setback from cities and residential areas. Red Wing has unanimously passed a resolution asking the county to give a 2 mile setback along the Great River Road in the Mississippi to protect that area. Lake City just yesterday passed a resolution asking the county for a 2 mile setback from their city. So I think when we talk about local government control, we're looking for these subcommittees or technical teams not to set a standard, not to say a setback should be X, but to prepare that toolkit to help a community make a decision. And as I look at the resolution, and as I look at page 2 of the technical advisory committee, I mean, we feel recommendations focus how to make the decisions, not to set a specific standard, but how does a local government entity make the decision? How do they justify their decision? A big concern right now is if Goodhue County were to say we want to stay 2 miles off the Mississippi River. Well, if that standard is set at a lower level, at the state level, then how do we rationalize and justify our position? So we have a great deal of concern over that. And we hope that we can find a way to get the input up front. And we hope there's like this toolkit that we can use. And I'm being a little repetitive, but I have had a chance to talk with almost 15 local government officials in the last 30 days on this subject. And they want local control, but they're really scared of the scope of industrial sand mining. And they want your support. And how do I do this? And how do I help justify my decision? First making it for me and saying it should be X. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. Questions for Keith or comments? Seeing none, thank you very much. This would be a good opportunity, I think, to ask if anyone else that's here today would choose to address the board. Please come on up. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kelly Stanage from Houston, Minnesota. And I think absolutely I would agree that local governments at the township as well as the county levels are very interested in retaining local control. But because of the scale and the intensity of frac sand mining, the questions that may be asked by local zoning administrators. For example, many of these counties have one zoning administrator that does everything from inspecting deck construction to permitting a silica sand mine. So a lot of the things that come up go beyond the technical expertise of local zoning officials. And you can't just ask a simple question of the guy you think might be able to answer it. You know, like, this sounds like an MPCA question. I'll call the pollution control guy. Well, you may have to start talking about hydrology issues and air quality issues. So I think convening the entire team is a much better way to ensure that all of the issues are considered in the context of the project. I would also say convening the team and making it a public process would very much improve the residents' feeling that it was a transparent process. As you've heard about much of the activity that's gone on in Wisconsin, residents there do not feel that their processes for approving CUPs for frac sand mines have been that transparent. So I think we could, by doing that, raise the level of confidence that Minnesota citizens have in the EQB and all of the agencies that are involved in this process. Thanks very much.
Okay. Questions for Kelly or comments? Seeing none, thank you very much, Kelly.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the room today that would like to have the opportunity to make some comments regarding on the draft resolution regarding establishment of committee? Mm-hmm. Seeing none, we should proceed then. Jeff?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, well, I think we have a few people bringing up the topics at hand. The questions, well, sorry, before you, I'm not quite sure, you know, how you want to proceed. I mean, we put together the resolution looking at two different ways. One, a more general question that comes into us. Two, a specific question on a specific project based on what the legislation says and based on what our operating rules say.
That is the team's charge.
And that's where we're at. I realize that there are oftentimes bills passed that don't always take into consideration the possible implications based on existing law. And maybe that's one of the situations we have right here. I don't know. But
then over here it says
based on what the legislation says, amending our statute, based on what our existing rules say, we think that this covers the possibilities. There is one thing that I would like to say is that there is a minor typo that needs to be corrected in this resolution. The chair raised this before. This might be a good time to deal with that. On page 2, the first, be it further resolved, it says, be it further resolved that the subcommittee shall draw. Oops, typo there. That should say the board rather than the subcommittee. To be honest with you, I drafted the previous resolution first, copied it, and then made changes to it to adapt it to the technical assistance team, and I missed that word right there. So the first be it further resolved on page 2, it should say be it further resolved that the board shall draw upon the staff resources and expertise, so on and so forth. In the second to the last, be it further resolved, I would note that I forgot to capitalize one version of the word team. It's the second sentence. It says the team, and that should be a capital T.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I'd like to ask Ms. Hedman if she would do a quick clarification in the fact that she did not have the exact draft of the resolution in front of us when she was, although it's pretty much the same. So if, for the record, if you could address that issue.
Right. Sorry. Thank you again, Leah Hedman from the Attorney General's office. I was reading an earlier draft, apparently, and not the one that went out. So essentially, it's the same thing, though. If you look on the at the last three paragraphs, the third from the bottom talks about if a local unit of government wants a formal findings, formal recommendation from the technical assistance team, there's a path for that. Formal recommendations from the team need to be brought back before this board, the EQB board, per the EQB or operating rules in Minnesota Rule 4405. The second paragraph from the bottom talks about if the local unit of government is looking for something less formal, looking for immediate information, more of a quick response that does not require the board to hear everything, but there is a path where It says the team may respond directly in writing to the local unit of government on such matters with information to assist the unit of government. The team's general assistance advice shall be logged on the EQB website for reference. It's the board's discretion whether or not such general assistance advice shall be a matter to be decided by the board. So if there is a concern, they can raise it to the board should they want to, but they, it's, again, it's within their discretion. But in case the question comes up over and over again, it would be at a reference on the website so people could look up and see what they were told and other things.
Thank you.
Hope that helps. Yeah, sorry for any confusion with the multiple drafts.
Jeff?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, and following up on Ms. Hedman's statement, the important distinction between these two paragraphs is, and this is based on what the legislation says, if they are asking for advice on a specific project that the local government needs to approve or deny, that's when it has to go through the more formal process, because that's essentially what the legislation says. If they're looking for advice on a project, on a silica sand project that the local government needs to make a decision on, the more general requirement questions like how do we
I waved him in.
How do we deal with monitoring? How do we deal with traffic going through our town? That there's certainly nothing that prevents somebody from calling an individual staffer from a different agency or something. But at least the way the resolution is written now, based on you know what we saw, the legislation says, if there's a project requiring approval or denial by the local government, that would have to be a recommendation that goes to the full board.
All right. John?
I'd like to hear what Mr. Larson has to say on this point before we talk.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I brought copies of the law. If anybody wants to see it, I don't know if that's helpful to hand out. I just needed to come up and talk about two things just to clarify them. One, the most specific language to the EQB was contained in the appropriation language, or at least it's very specific. And it says a $500,000 the first year and $500,000 the second year are from the general fund of the Environmental Quality Board to lead an interagency team to provide technical assistance. So there's one issue. This wasn't money appropriated to the EQB for a subcommittee. And this was discussed a lot. This was one. There were several people who wanted different agencies to be responsible for this. So this was not language that was written and somebody looked at it after it was signed. This language was discussed quite a bit. So the money was sent to the EQB to lead an interagency team. So I think that's important to give you a little freedom to say that you're not subject necessarily to all the EQB rules on how this is run. The second issue I wanted to bring up again is in the law, the EQB shall assemble a silica sand technical assistance team to provide local governments at their request with assistance. So here's a statement that says, at their request with assistance on environmental review, permitting, monitoring, and other issues arising from silica sand mining and processing operations. So again, there's a statement that says you're to assemble the team. And this specifically relates to requests from local governments on specific, well, it's arising from silica sand mining and operations. I don't want to overstate that. But clearly, again, we believe these are going to come from individual projects. The second part of it, this is important because this was a discussion that took place quite often in the legislature as well. And that was Subdivision 4, and it talks about consideration of technical team recommendations. And there was a desire for people to be able to say, I just don't want advice. I actually want findings. And there's a specific provision in here that talks about that, is if they ask for findings, then it doesn't have any provisions related to the EQB and what you need to do. But the local governments either have to agree to those findings, or if they don't, they have to have their own findings stating why they don't agree. The local government's attorneys, frankly, were advising, the AMC and township attorneys were saying, we would have to do that anyway, otherwise it's an arbitrary and capricious decision. So we're kind of blending things. There's a provision that says, assemble a silica technical team. It specifically relates to projects silica sand mining and processing operations, so it's not general assistance. And that's separate from this requirement that findings be created. So there's just been some statements about this is mandated, this process, by the law, and I think that's pretty clearly not correct.
John.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm looking at the law as well, and I just wanted to... Perhaps in order to advance the subject, Mr. Chair, I'm going to move the resolution as modified by the corrections that were offered by Mr. Smizer.
We've heard the motion to include the recommendations. The recommendations are to strike the term subcommittee on the first sentence of the page 2 and insert board, and also to change the lowercase to a uppercase T on the second to the last paragraph on team. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Chair.
Yes. Are you seconding or?
No, I had a question about, did we already have a motion and second on the subcommittee resolution? And I don't know, or have we, are we, I'm confused.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a motion on.
Have we slid over to, which one are you moving? You moving the technical committee?
Mr. Chair.
Because you're right.
We moved and voted on the formation of a subcommittee of EQB to deal with.
Mr. Chair, John, I believe the specific language the chair used was that we were voting on the correction to the resolution, not to the resolution
That's
itself.
Correct. We didn't have a motion on the resolution, which would be a roll call vote, but we did move to amend the language.
I see.
So
amend, but
we're getting ahead of ourselves here, and unfortunately, we're wrapping both. You're a good call. I think we should get back then to the
Mr. Chair. I'll withdraw my previous motion.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Need a motion on the
subcommittee.
We should be then going back to the establishing of the Environmental Quality Board Subcommittee for Silica Sand Issues, and we did move to amend by adding the term one or more. And so on the motion, is there a motion? Oh, wait, yeah, we need a motion to approve the resolution with amendments. And is there a second? There is a motion. Is there a second? There is a second. Further discussion? Seeing none, I'd ask Will to read the roll.
Sure. Commissioner Clark-Steven?
Aye.
Commissioner Ellinger?
Aye.
Commissioner Fredrickson?
Aye.
Ms. Goring?
Aye.
Ms. Knuth?
Aye.
Assistant Commissioner Naramore?
Point of clarification.
Can she vote?
I don't think a substitute votes for a commissioner.
Thank you for clarifying. Can I say I'm the new guy? How long can I say that for?
Another week.
All right.
About a year.
I was hoping another month.
About a year.
Randall's trained me well. I said, whatever you do, don't vote.
I've got like 2 weeks.
Tell him to come over. I could use that training.
He actually is right back there smiling. Randall. Yeah.
Commissioner Nafsad?
Aye.
Commissioner Rothman?
Aye.
Mr. Saxog?
Aye.
Commissioner Linkstein?
Aye.
Mr. Tomlinson?
Aye.
And Commissioner Zelli?
Aye.
The motion prevails, and it is unanimous. All right. Now,
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the second resolution with the amended language. So this motion is only to put the resolution in the form that we've been discussing.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
There is a second. Is there further discussion? Now is a good time to have further discussion.
I would,
Brian,
question for staff. Jeff, I wonder if you could just advise us on how, when a communication is made from a local unit of government, how the technical assistance team is going to determine which category it falls within, an ultimate decision by the board or a simple call for clarification.
Right, Mr. Chair, members of the board. If the question, all right, there are two different sort of things. There's a question on an application is made to County X for a silica mine, silica sand mine, okay, an actual sand project that the board, the county needs to approve or deny. That request for assistance from our technical assistance team would have to go through a meeting and generating a recommendation that would go to the EQB board for a decision on. That's what our rules say, because it says any task force that's making a recommendation, the recommendation needs to go through the board. Actually have language if you want to get into that. I don't know if that's that complexity is necessary, but under our rules, any recommendation from a task force, in this case this technical assistance team, it actually says 4405.0800 subdivision 3, recommendations from task forces and subcommittees, this is the task force we're talking about, must be submitted to the board. It's right there. All right, that's what the law says.
So, Jeff, if I am a township supervisor and I have a question and I call you and I say, you know, we're trying to work on some policy language here. What about thus and such? It depends on how I ask the question. If I call and ask you that I would like to have the assistance of the technical advisory team, your response would be, well, then we'll have to assemble it and allow you to ask the question. I think it's all depending upon how the person on the other end of the phone asks the question.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, not really. It depends on the topic, the question. What is the question about? Not how it's asked, but what is it about? A policy question, if they're doing their ordinance or something like that, that's not something that we have to give a recommendation on, because in the statute that required that we prepare this team, that we assemble this team, what it says...
Can you put it on the screen for everyone to see,
do that,
please?
Take a little adjustment here. Where's ours? Don't you love it when your computer, the keyboard is completely different from... Hey, where's the escape key? Can somebody tell me where the escape key is?
It's coming to the rescue.
Here comes the bride.
It's not a key.
One that says ESC on it?
Yeah, but there's no key there. That's the whole thing. You're just supposed to know to touch it. All right, you're not going to believe it.
Now, is that a policy issue or is that an activity?
Is this a key or is this a key?
ESC, right there, yeah.
Yeah.
The defense rest.
Never try to one-up your boss.
With your...
I wanted this and the other one here. Okay. Right. And if I can reduce this, I can have both languages up. Which is what I'd like to do. So bear with me here. Yep, I can get the other one. Thanks.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay. Recommendation related to, and it's approval or denial of the project. That's what I'm looking for right there. Okay. That's what the legislation now says, the statute. It's been included into statute. That language right there is what we're talking about. Now, if I can also pull up our rules. And I can shrink this. Sorry, this wasn't automatically prepared, but we're getting there. 800. Okay. We'll do this. Ah, come on, you. This mouse is very twitchy. Okay. Okay. And here's what we're looking for. Okay, sorry. The top screen is how the legislation, the recent legislation, House File 976, amended Minnesota Statutes 116C. And you can see what it says is, regarding this technical assistance team, a recommendation related to proposed silica sand project for the protection of human health and the environment. A local government must consider the findings or recommendation of the technical assistance team in its approval or denial of a silica sand project. See that right there, recommendations on the local government's approval or denial. So when the local government has a project that it has to approve or deny, it's asking for a recommendation. The lower screen, there's our operating rules. Recommendations from task forces must be submitted to the board. That's what this is based on. Ms. Hedman, I got this right? I think so.
Pretty good, yes. That's what the language says, but I think there's also language above it that says Subdivision 3, which is the creation of the technical assistance team. So there is more to the law, but this is what he's focused on here. The other aspect is that when you have a piece of legislation that EQB is required to carry out, you look to what the legislative intent is behind the legislation. What's the purpose? Why did the legislature want to have you do this? What is the goal and what is to be achieved by what you're doing? And you always want to be carefully considering what that means. So in looking at this, the conversation did occur. Is it that everything has to be a formal recommendation? Did they mean it for everything to come before the EQB board, for every answer that might be a technical assistance question for every township that calls up? So the way the resolution is written is to achieve the legislative intent of getting the assistance actually to the units of government in a timely and pretty quick manner, but by the technically assisted experts or technical experts. But then in where you have to have findings, projects, or specific projects, they want specific findings and making recommendations that a more formal process could be had if the local unit of government wants that. And then that would come before this board. So the Technical Assistance Committee doesn't just go on its own and make findings and recommendations. You have to approve them according to your rules. And this was put into Minnesota Statute 116C, which is the Environmental Quality Board statutes. So the legislature chose to put this within your statute itself. So if that can be just my only clarifying point.
John?
Mr. Chair, I do think to some extent you made a good point. If you look at the law, the copy that we were presented, Subdivision 3 of the statute, the third line in it says at their request. So first, you know, in working through this from my point of view, who starts? Local units of government start. The state doesn't do anything until a local unit of government makes a request. The request can be defined in many different ways, and I would assume to address some of the concerns that people in the audience might have, perhaps someone disingenuously declares that their request is not related to a specific project. All right, let's assume that someone says, I have a question about air quality in the city of Winona. It's not about a project. But later the subject comes up before the city council or the county board, and they rely on the information that our staff provided them as a part of a technical assistance response. I'm wondering what the problem is that we're trying to solve. So,
what problem has that caused in the past?
None, to my knowledge.
Then why would we assume it would cause some in the future?
Well, there seems to be an inference by Mr. Larson that structuring this in some way is going to reduce or somehow restrict the benefit of this service to local units of government. I don't think that's true. I think if a local unit of government asks a question at first, not knowing, if they're going to use it for a project or not. But if they don't, I don't think that's a knowable response. So I disagree with his premise, if that's a part of his premise. Secondly, if a local unit of government submits a request and they know it's about a project, then we know it's about a project. And they should just declare it to be so, and then we have a process to address it. So I think that the resolution and the method that's put forward here is acceptable. If a local government wants to craft their request as to be not specific to a given project, they can do that. So I don't think that the concern that has been raised by Mr. Larson is actually going to lead to an impediment to carrying out the work of the technical assistance team. It's different, perhaps, than what he envisioned. So I guess I just wanted to hear his point of view fully and look at the law again, which we've done now, and I think that there is a basis in the statutory language that when the request that a local unit of government makes relates to a project, then the recommendations that are returned, the local government's got a duty to respond to those comments as well. And if they don't agree with them, they have to go through their own work then. So I think it's worth the extra process, to be perfectly honest.
All right. Other questions or comments? Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking at this and being a member of local government and having been involved in ordinance committees, and understanding the ordinance process, many times there are brainstorming sessions in an ordinance committee meeting. And the ordinance committee may not necessarily have all of the answers, which is why you reach out to somebody that does have the answers. And in this case, it would be the experts that would be assigned to the technical assistance team of the state. Now, when an ordinance committee is brainstorming, you may wish to ask questions of a hypothetical sense. You don't know where you're going with an ordinance until the draft is done. And as you're asking these questions of a hypothetical sense, you may not necessarily want that indicated on a website. You may wish that to be a conversation that's formulating an ordinance. So as I'm reading subdivision 3 of the statute, that seems to relate most closely to the second to the last be it resolved, the questions of general nature. What I'm wondering is, if we were to strike the last, the team's general assistance, starting with the third lineup, the team's general assistance advice shall be logged on the EQB website for reference. It is, and then further on, some board discretion. I'm wondering if those last two sentences were stricken, it would seem to serve the purposes of an ordinance committee to ask hypothetical questions in developing a draft ordinance. It would give that freedom to ask hypotheticals without them being indicated on a website. And it would also satisfy statute, because subdivision 3 specifically says that assistance team is available, but it does not mention the need to make that communication public.
Well, Brian, I don't believe it says anywhere in that second to the last be it resolved paragraph that it said that the asker of the question will be posted, the name would be posted on the website. It just says that the team's general assistance advice shall be logged on the EQB website, and I think that gets to the issue of, again, transparency, and secondarily, to building a library that would become useful to local units of government. And I believe that we were charged with that responsibility also. My opinion.
Correct. And I'm simply stating that it may inhibit the best ordinance if hypothetical questions are not able to be asked. And I think as we look at this, we're looking at a very specific area of the state that's going to have specific projects. I don't think it's going to be very hard when you take a look at a timeline of who's applying for what, when, in what county, as to where those hypothetical questions may have come from. And in the interest of developing the best ordinance, if we inhibit open and free thought, then we may not wind up with the best product.
But,
and to that end, I just simply am wondering if, yeah. if striking those two would those two sentences would provide local units of government with the needed flexibility and satisfying statute.
Okay. Yeah. Legal counsel's opinion is that it is a public meeting, and so any of that discussion would probably already be made public. Is that right?
Yes. Leah Hedman, again, with the Attorney General's Office. Looking at the board operating rules in 4405, 0800, which is actually at the bottom of the page, if you move down to one more notch to subdivision 4, which is, yes, right there, all meetings of subcommittees and task forces are open to the public. Notice of the time, place, and matters to be considered must be posted and established in the operating rule, a different section. But the meetings themselves and the discussion will be public and transparent per the process. However, whether they're identified on the website is not specified. The website portion was a staff discussion not required by the legislature in the language that's now very high above in the from the legislature. So that's not required. It was simply a good idea, they thought. So if it's not a good idea, then you can amend that. But the process itself for deciding the issues will be a public and open meeting.
Back to your issue again, Brian. If you feel strongly about that, there is always the process that we have in front of us, and that's the process of amendment.
Just one question, Mr. Chair.
Katie.
It says that the team may respond directly in writing to the local government unit. That would be subject to data practices, correct?
Right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, a couple clarifications here. Right. One of the things is that if a question comes in and the team doesn't necessarily have to formally convene and meet if it's a question of the sort we're talking about. Of a general question. We could direct it to, if it's an air quality, maybe where there's an air quality. If it's a question about how to deal with air quality, we could just give it to the air quality experts and they could prepare a response. If it's a question on water quality, the water quality people could prepare a response. Wouldn't necessarily require a full meeting of the team. However, as is pointed out by Commissioner Clark-Steven, everything we do is available to the public. If anybody asks anything that we're doing, unless we're corresponding with our attorney, it's open. We can't hide anything legally other than communication with our attorney, with the exception of communicating with her today at an open meeting. So if such an inquiry comes in, if somebody wants to know what we told that county, we have to tell them. We have to furnish it to them anyways. So it's kind of like, let's save a step. Let's just put it out there. That was really it. We don't have to post it on our website, but just to let everybody know that if somebody asks, we've got to give them a copy of the letter or whatever it is. So we can certainly scratch that, posting it on the website. As the chair said, it was just an effort to make things transparent on issues that are not being dealt with as a completely full open to the public meeting of the team, a meeting of the team, rather than just, oh, this should go to Joe Smith in water quality. You know, and then that could happen. It's a function of the team, but it's not an actual meeting of the team.
John Lickstein.
Mr. Chair, I just want to move up on that same be it further resolved item. The team may respond directly in writing. I want to be clear that we provide assistance right now. We've provided assistance to the city of Winona and Winona County right now about air monitoring on a variety of questions related to truck traffic, non-specific to projects. We've advised them on monitoring equipment specifications and potential vendors and consulting options and all kinds of information. I think what concerns me the most, and I agree that being transparent is the preferable mode of operating because of sort of the where we are right now. What I don't want to do is I don't want to tie the hands of the staff of any of this technical assistance team in a way that hinders the flow of information between the technical assistance team members and local units of government. I think that it remains to be seen. I'm open to debate on that last point about logging it onto a website, whether that hinders the flow. I think that's the key question.
Thank you. Are you ready to move on the resolution at this time? Is there further questions or comments or concerns? Barb?
I have an additional question, Mr. Chair, if folks are done discussing the point that John had raised, which is it's actually that final sentence of the penultimate resolved. I'm just trying to make sure I understand the board's expectations procedurally here. So if the team were to respond.
You're on the second to the last paragraph?
Right.
Last sentence, it's the board's discretion.
The last sentence is the board's discretion whether or not such general assistance advice be a matter decided by the board.
To be decided by the board, correct.
Is that intended as a general statement, or is the expectation that the board would be making request-specific determinations about that? And the reason I ask is, earlier in that same resolution, we anticipate the technical assistance team operating in, I think, a pretty direct way, responding to those kinds of general, non-project-specific requests for information. So I could envision a scenario in which the team makes that response and then the board exercises its discretion to make that a matter to be decided by the board, and I'm wondering the horse is out of the barn at that point. And
so, in other words, if...
What's the process
if the technical committee said on the question of setbacks, you see, I would think an 18-mile setback would be a good idea. I would suspect that the board would probably
want to
say...
I think we want
to talk about that a little bit. Now, that is an exaggerated case, but
right.
I'm not sure the drafter.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I think it's a good point procedurally. I'll be honest, we didn't think about that particular series of potential events. The intent here was to make sure that everybody knew that this technical assistance team is not a covert operator that is out of control. We're not the NSA. No, sorry, I didn't. I mean, that's bad. I'm sorry. We are under the control of the board.
Correct.
And I didn't, you know, we didn't really know how else to make that clear. I mean, if we're going to make a direct response, certainly if the board wants to step in and say, hold it, time out, we're not really comfortable with that. That was an attempt to do that. Now that you've raised that point, it is a bit clumsy the way it's written right now.
My concern is simply that we don't put the members of that team in an awkward position of trying to divine what the board might or might not be interested in.
It's kind of part of the job, isn't it? No, but it's a good point. It's a good point, Ms. Chairman.
There are a lot of folks who are clearly very interested in how this process unfolds, and so if that's an important part of the process, I just want to make sure that the expectations on the board's part are clear.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair. I'd just like to clarify my previous question of the data practices piece. So anything that's written can be requested by any member of the public at any point in time. So even if it's not necessarily put on a website, that still is public information.
Correct.
So I just wanted to make sure that the full board understood why I was asking that question.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Brian.
In an effort to move this along, I think the points about hypotheticals and communication being more freely flowing if every conversation on LGU has with the state isn't recorded on a website. And the fact that the last sentence is, described as somewhat clumsy at this point in time, I would move that in the second to the last, be it further resolved, that the last two sentences are stricken. Therefore, the sentence, the team may respond directly in writing to the local government unit on such matters with information to assist the local unit of government. Wait a minute. The last two sentences, so...
That's the end of the paragraph, then, is...
Yes.
Your amendment would be to assist the local unit of government, period, and strike the last three lines, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Is there a second? Be striking. So the motion would read, be it further resolved that the local units of government may also request general assistance from the team on issues arising from silica sand activities but not related to a specific silica sand project, period. The team, capital T, may respond directly in writing to the local unit of government unit on such matters with information to assist the unit of government, period, and then would be to strike the last three, and that would be the team's general assistance advice shall be logged on EQB website for reference. That would be gone, and it is the board's discretion whether or not such general assistance advice shall be a matter to be decided by the board. That shall also be removed. Is there a second? Is there a second?
I'll second that.
There is a second. Is there discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Eric?
I guess I do have a little bit of issue removing that. Kind of to the point that Ms. Naramore stated, it may put staff in a position to make a decision that would kind of go buried. I see the opportunity, if this is posted on a website, and if it's up to the board's discretion whether or not some of that general advice should be brought before the board, it kind of goes into that black box. You know, it kind of, that's, I guess, how I'm kind of seeing this may go. And I guess I just wanted to raise that issue before final vote.
The vote. Thank you. Is there further discussion on the motion to amend? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Nay.
No.
Nay.
Motion fails. On the resolution, further discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion? Oh, we had a motion. All those, I'll ask Will to read the roll. I'm sorry.
Commissioner Clark Seaman?
Aye.
Commissioner Ellinger?
Aye.
Commissioner Fredrickson?
Aye.
And Ms. Gehring?
Aye.
Ms. Knuth?
Aye.
Commissioner Napstad?
Aye.
Commissioner Rothman?
Aye.
Mr. Saxog?
Aye.
Commissioner Linkstein?
Aye.
Mr. Tomlinson?
As a point of clarification real quick, this is as amended?
The motion as Bill. Amended, which, and the amendment was those two provisions, striking the word, or adding the word the board and sentences. The capital T, that was, yeah.
We'll keep the language in.
Yep.
No.
Commissioner Zelli?
Aye.
There being 10 ayes, 1 nay, the motion prevails. All right, let us move then to, I guess that gets us to the end of the agenda. Unbelievable. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. Thank you, one and all.